There's nothing that prepares you for this way of life. You're either into it or you're not.
I don't want them to eat me. They want to eat me.
You know, life is on life's terms, not mine.
Everything I need to make a living is out there. I can build my house. I can feed my kids.
I've got to always be prepared that every day may be your last.
Being free means being able to carve out a life on your own terms.
You gotta remember, the country can eat you just as quick as you can eat anything from the country.
Anytime you can dance with the devil and come out on top, it's not a bad feeling.
What you need, what you want, it's all subjective. This is like a plush light.
Can't be scared of death. You just gotta be scared of the pain it takes to get dead.
I am the last frontier. You let your guard down once and you end up going home in a body bag.
I'm Chip Hailstone. I've been living in this region for 25 years now. I met my wife, Agnes, and I've just stayed with her, and she stayed with me, and I love this place. I'm going to have my bones picked clean by the birds here someday.
I'm Agnes Hailstone, and I'm a Kuvanut Inupiaq Eskimo. I was born and raised around the Kobuk River area. Right now, we're catching the whitefish and the mud sharks.
Today, we're setting nets. We're hoping for quite a few fish. It's just when you want to make a good living and you want to do it from the country, you got to remember the country can eat you just as quick as you can eat anything from the country. I fish the Inupiaq way, and we go to the same place where my wife and her family and her mother's mother have been fishing, and it's possible it's been going on for hundreds, if not thousands of years there. Where I live, beyond the end of the road, where the earth stops going north, food is pretty important. Late fall's one of the last chances to get a large bunch of whitefish, and setting the nets on thin ice is probably one of the more dangerous things that we do during the year. But the death is a big part of our life. It's kind of our doings. This is hunting, and fishing is dealing death. The changing seasons, the changing conditions, that all keeps me kind of apprehensive. But as long as you're paranoid, then you're worried. And as long as you're worried, that's the first step to protecting yourself. On the far side is one-inch ice. One-inch ice we don't put our weight on. But this is highly dangerous. This killed my wife's mother. This killed my wife's brother. This killed my wife's brother's girlfriend. A lot of people every year. So we just got to be careful. It's pretty risky. Nobody will grab you because you'll go under the ice and the current will take you. It's a strong, fast-running river. There's no coming back. Every day I kiss my kids if I don't see them again. Yeah, it's kind of scary sometimes. We're hoping for quite a few fish. We're trying to be as safe as possible. We've only got a couple inches of ice underneath us.
2-inch rule.
I lost my mother, my brother, and his girlfriend through the ice. Ever since then, I'm real cautious of where I step. When I pass away, I would like to go to the happy hunting grounds where my ancestors are.
Over 1 inch.
Okay, that's as far as we go.
Being a registered guide outfitter in Alaska is something really special. My guide license number is 1,273. Ever since I was a little kid, I always was really into the outdoors. It was something that was just born into me. My name's Eric Salatan, and I've lived in Alaska for 10 years. I'm a registered guide outfitter here, and I live in the Brooks Range above the Arctic Circle. I buy absolutely no meat whatsoever from the store. Every bit of the meat that I eat is harvested by myself. Here's another wolf track. I'm gonna say that this wolf track is probably a week old. This wilderness is the last true wilderness left in North America. There is no other true wilderness left but right here in the Arctic of Alaska. That's it. This is a hind foot. The track somewhat obscured by the frost coming up out of the ground. But you can see the five toes here and the claw marks here. It's bigger than my hand is across. We're probably looking at a pretty big bear. Let's follow him and see where he goes. There they are. We're gonna move along slowly and see if we can get in good range here to get a shot. We've spotted a medium-sized herd of caribou. They're mainly comprised of cows. We're gonna target a dry cow, a cow without a calf. That's the best meat at this time of year. That's the fattest animal, and the meat is what's important to us. Dud. We had a gun malfunction here. You can see the bolt. It's just like slow motion here. I got to use my forward assist to close it. It's all frozen up. I had one chance at these caribou here, and they've taken off now. It's cold. My gun malfunctioned. Better luck next time. I came to Alaska the day that I graduated from high school, and I've lived here ever since. There's nothing that prepares you for this way of life. You're either into it or you're not. There's no school that you can go to, or there's no training that you can take to come live out here and do things like this. Some people take a job in a factory. I rolled out and came here. I was crazy to begin with, so it wasn't a problem.
I've always craved extreme isolation. I don't want to be in town. I want to go home. Nobody wants to get attacked by a bear. I mean, it's not what most people think about, what most people have to worry about.
It's what I do.
I live at Kavik River Camp, which is a camp up on the North Slope, and I am its sole caretaker. My address is a GPS coordinate, 69.4 North, 146.54 West. My closest neighbor would be, I don't know, 300, 350 miles south. I live at the top of nowhere, in a tent, have no desire to change that. And my closest neighbors might be a bear right outside the door. Back in June of 2011, I was rewiring the camp up at Kavik, fell, and I broke my leg. I needed surgery to fix it. Ended up having to come to town, so I just had the surgery, and getting better. The doctor just gave me the green light to go home, so I am packing my and getting the hell out of Dodge. I don't know the conditions I'm going to be walking into, but I've got to be prepared for them. Yep, this is your basic 44 Ruger. This is if I'm going to the bathroom, if I'm cleaning up around camp, whatever I'm doing, this is what you wear to protect yourself. You come around the corner, a wolverine meets you and charges you. You want something you can grab quick that's got a little bit of boom. You undo these and tie them around your legs. You walk around like John Wayne going, "F*** me, man." This little baby right here is longer range. I get a lot of bear activity, 83 grizzes within 10 miles of camp. If you have a dangerous predator charging it, I have 10 of his friends that are right in here that say you're gonna stop. I got caught with my panties down once before, laid there 10 days before I got found. This helps me to feel that that won't happen twice.
I moved out here to live my dream of living in the woods, to be as self-sufficient as I can be, and I just love the isolation, and I love the quiet.
Yukon River is a really powerful river. When it decides it wants to do something, you better get out of the way. There's no way of stopping it. My name's Andy Basich. I've been living in Eagle for 30 years. I met my wife, Kate, in Dawson City in the Yukon Territory. Every year the river freezes up sometime in November or December, we never know when. We're kind of landlocked in until the safety get across and we can put trails in. I'd say we live about 14 miles from the nearest point of civilization here. Every year when the river freezes, the ice packs in and blocks our path to town. In order to get out, we literally have to cut a trail to create a path for our sleds. We don't have roads. In Alaska, most of the rivers are the highways for people.
Putting a trail across the river takes me sometimes 2 days to do it. And this opens up all the areas where I cut wood, where I get logs for building. And almost more importantly than that, it opens up all downriver for me.
Iceberg, Gilligan, sit.
My name is Kate. Sit. I first came to Alaska as a tourist 10 years ago. I love it here. I wake up every morning and I think I'm the luckiest woman in the world.
I met Andy in Dawson City in the Yukon Territory. He brought me to Eagle during that time. I fell in love with the place. I fell in love with him. My life is perfect.
It's a life everybody should lead. Everybody should have this kind of peace.
What I love about living out here is the freedom to develop the life I want to live and then living that life.
Finish taking that. I'll check this out and we got it made. I gotta go check this ISO. This could be hollow up here.
You have to be careful because you never know when you're gonna hit bad ice on the Yukon River here, especially early on. There's soft spots, there's weak spots, and it's real easy to go through. If you go through, that's it, you're gone.
Sound pretty solid here so far. See what happens here.
I have to say I'm just a wee bit nervous standing right here right now.
There's dangers everywhere, and I don't know how I put them out of my mind, but I guess I'm a little insane that way.
If you disappear under the ice on the Yukon, you can't swim up against the current, and you basically just get swept away.
Hollow ice has no strength to it.
Every year the river freezes up, we're kind of landlocked in until the safety get across and we can put trails in.
Every time I go out on that river, even when I know it's safe ice, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, you know, what happens if I go through now?
Right, I think we made it. Yeah.
It's good?
Yeah, we're good.
All right, we're almost done.
This is kind of a big day, you know, to open up the river, to start feeling like we have the world kind of opening up around us. Big day.
Come on, crew, get her. Get her, crew. Get her, crew, come on, crew, get her.
I've accepted I'm a food group, and that's the way I live my life. It's a gamble, it's a risk. Are you gonna make it? Toss the coin, heads or tails.
The doctor just gave me the green light so I can pack my and leave Fairbanks. Next up, dead horse, grab a bush plane, 1 hour to the right, and I'm home.
I've been in the Fairbanks area now for roughly 3 months. I had to come in and have surgery. You know, about 2 years ago, I took a nasty fall out of camp, broke the leg in three places, and, you know, a few years back, I got attacked by a grizzly, tore up the hips, the spine, created some problems for me, you know, health-wise. the break of the leg and the subsequent healing of it exacerbates that. So between the bear injury and the breaking of the leg, you know, I wasn't walking correctly, haven't been walking correctly. All the top predators, I cull the injured animals. They look for something that's slower, not right, and that's the first thing they pursue. It's very difficult to have something put its jaws on your head. You know, it's like the teeth marks here. You feel it go into your scalp. You feel the skull being compromised. You're hoping he doesn't crush it. I try not to think about it too much. In the first person, I don't mind talking about it a little, but I don't like bringing it all back up. Laying there, you know, for so many days, you don't know, am I going to get out of this one? You don't know if this is going to be the year your kids are going to get the call that says, you know, your mom was a tough bastard, but she's not here no more. The word that I've gotten is, looks like I have a bear denned up in my cubby that I live in. I may have to walk 500-600 yards through the snowdrifts to get to my building, dig into the door, only to deal with a bear.
This is just being a man. It's an ancient way of doing things. This is actually wealth without money. You can feed your family with subsistence. Because if that's the river right there, and over here is the other half of the river, and the fish travel up this way, so we put our net there. We'll do our work and get our reward. Looks like payday. The fish that we're trying to catch are valuable to us because we can eat them ourselves, we can feed them to dogs, we can trade them to people, and we could sell them outright if we wanted to. And this is an important time of year because it's the one time of year that they have eggs. And the eggs make them so nutritious. They make the caloric value in them so much better. And they're tasty. They just taste good. There's my wife, there's my son, there's my oldest daughter, and my wife's cousin. We all fish together all the time. It's never a safe deal. She'll be safe in another month, though, when she's a foot thicker.
I don't think my mother would like it if I gave up on fishing, because she taught me and my sisters to fish, and I don't know, I just don't think I'd give that up. I bring the kids out most of the time. They always know never to go by the ice holes, and they always travel in pairs.
And we're gonna take this yellow line here, and we're gonna pass it under from hole to hole to hole to hole until we've got this dozen holes or so, all the way till the rope is there, and then we're gonna feed it in and use the rope and pull it back.
I thought you pulled the rope. He's really pulling.
He's not dead.
There you go,
you
got
the rope.
Pull it. You can't stop and give it slack. It's like a fish. Back.
There you go. Pull it, Ag. Pull it. Keep pulling it, Ag. Keep pulling it before you lose it.
Pull it. Oh, it just come off again. So you can't stop and give it slack. It's like a fish.
Today we're setting nets. We're trying to get our adjustments right to where we get to where the fish are. And we're just keeping our wits about us as best we can to where we can get this set and still do it safely.
There you go. Pull it, Ag. Pull it. Keep pulling it, Ag. Keep pulling it before you lose it.
He's looking at it.
I know. I can see it, too. I can see it right from here.
No.
Yeah, go through the eye.
No.
Pull it out. Finally put one through the eye of this dang thing. We're hoping to get a couple hundred fish a day. This is an important time of year because it's the one time of year that they have eggs. Our preference right now, while they're here, are the egg-laden whitefish. And that's why we use such a large mesh on our net, is because we want the smaller, skinnier ones to pass through and the big, fat ones to get caught.
Grab that corner, son.
Yeah, it was real timid. Look, he's on the inside of the net, Agnes. I do this the way that folks around here do it, because the way the folks around here do it is the right way to do it. So, of course, I copy them. I learn from them, I emulate them, and I teach it to my kids.
We got one super liquor around here somewhere. I see eggs on the ice.
You deliver the day. Right now, we'll be eating the fish, and someday they'll come for theirs. We're all gonna die. Can't be scared of death. You just gotta be scared of the pain it takes to get dead.
That's good, huh?
The river will take us someday. I always say that. We'll die on the river.
You have to think ahead. If you just go blindly doing things, it'll bite you real quick.
I just checked the river ice, and I think it's probably good enough I can try and make it to town. So I think what I'd like to do is I'm going to hook up a relatively small team and see how far I can make it up to town today.
Every time he leaves to go on the snow machine or with the dogs, something can always go wrong. I mean, you can lose your sled, fall, hit jumble ice, crack your head open.
Okay. Well, just don't do anything stupid.
No. This
wait
time.
A day or two. No, I'm serious. You know, you always got to be the first person on the river when it's ice or water. You're the first one on and the last one off.
Yeah, but it's where we live, and you know how I love the river.
I do. I know that. But
I can't stay off of it.
It's going to get you one of these days.
Well, if it does, it does.
The river's our highway, both in the summer and the winter. So in the winter, if we can't access the Yukon River, we can't get to town. If we can't get to town, then we can't get mail, we can't get supplies.
No, you can't go over there. I depend on my dogs 100% to get me safely from point A to point B. I currently have 24 adults and one puppy. They're good companions. They can travel through just about any terrain there is. Dogs and living in the bush, man, that's the only way to go.
I'm by. Atta boy. Straight ahead. Straight ahead. I'm by. Let's go.
I want him to be kept safe. I mean, you know, I've had him come home soaking wet and dogs wet from going in the river and almost dying. So those things enter your mind.
You have to be really careful because you never know when you're going to hit bad ice on the Yukon River here, especially early on. There's soft spots, there's weak spots, because the current's still flowing 4 miles an hour underneath this ice. It's real easy to go through. If you go through, that's it, you're gone.
If you're living out in the bush and you never know when something's gonna come through, and so, you know, there's a certain sense of security in having a firearm in your home. Freeze again. Yesterday was a pretty cold day. I had a gun malfunction. My firing pin froze. I took it home last night, took it apart. We had to modify it a little bit and use some grease that doesn't freeze so easily. I think the gun's going to work well, and hopefully we'll have some success to avenge yesterday's failure. It's about -4 here. Could be as cold as -20 once we get out of the trees. I'm gonna go ahead and cache my pack and my sled right here by this tree. Hopefully we'll be back soon and be dragging the caribou home tonight. I'm a subsistence hunter. A rifle or a pistol to me is no different than a hammer is to a carpenter.
I don't think I'd do too well working in a cubicle.
My office is 100 million acres of wilderness. We're on a fresh track here. I expect it'll be over the next rise. Hope we'll catch up with it. Pretty deep snow here, hard walking. Hopefully I'll be headed home with some fresh meat tonight. I've spotted a good caribou over this way. It's a dry cow, a lone cow. It'll be the fattest meat that we can get at this time of year. We eat meat every single meal, every single day. I buy absolutely no meat whatsoever from the store. Every bit of the meat that I eat is harvested by myself. I love it. Luck paid off. I caught a caribou. It's a yearling here. Should be some tender meat. There's no ego involved in subsistence hunting. It's all about getting some good quality meat to feed myself. We'll be eating fresh caribou meat tonight. Let's get to work. If you don't gut these animals immediately, they start to purge. So it's very important to take care of your meat. We freed up the stomach, and now we're gonna cut the diaphragm, reach inside and free up the internal organs here. Now we can just kind of pull it all out. Here's my favorite part of any game animal here in Alaska, the heart. Fresh blood, good heart blood. Warm your hands up on a day like this when it's 28 below. And that is my supper tonight. Nobody's taking this away from me. This is my favorite. Beautiful piece of meat there. We're gonna flop it back up inside. You gotta keep your exposed skin covered here. And like I say, it's 28 below. About to get dark, the temperature's dropping. Meat is of the utmost importance here in northern Alaska. Load up in our sled.
I'm still learning. Got lots to do, lots to learn, lots of new stuff yet, and I ain't dead yet. We can keep catching whitefish till the ice is too thick. But once that happens, white fishing is over till spring. So no matter what I do, I have to get out there and catch what I have to catch.
Are you slack? Where's the net stuff? Here, you guys start here. I'm going to check the net. It is not moving. Can you move it at all? There's a float stuck here. It might be stuck in a crevice in the ice. It might be stuck where it cracked.
What bull,
man? I hate it when this happens and you have something perfectly set up.
We're going to open up a hole here and free our ice net and check our net. I dressed for being next to the village, not for being gone for an extended amount of time. I anticipate a couple hours. I anticipate getting wet on the outside, but I don't anticipate swinging an axe for an hour to get through this ice.
The top of our net's float is frozen right there. You can see the white float.
Cool, Jeff.
Time, huh? I'm so happy I could. Oh, salmon.
You don't need money to be rich. You gotta have a good attitude, work hard. Persistence is the key to subsistence.
I need to get home way too much. You know, people get afraid of break-ins. My break-in involves teeth, claws, and a hell of a lot of bad weather. I'm in Dead Horse right now. Got this far up the road. You know, it's 500 miles so far. Now I got about another 100 to go. I've been away from home for 3 months and I can't take it a minute longer. For me, it's very exciting. I'm very nervous, getting ready to go wheels up. This is the last leg of civilization before I get back to my world. We don't know what the conditions of Kavik are. My best guesstimate, I may be looking at anywhere 70, 75 below zero wind chill factor. There's no electricity. The only light is right here, what's on my head. You know, it's a no man's land. Whatever you leave laying around, it's either the wind, the snow drifts, the animals, nature will take over. You know, my buildings, they'll get 22-foot snow drifts and cover them. So I've got to go dig inch by inch, foot by foot, reclaiming everything. Brand new ankle, brand new surgery, only a couple of months, and it's going to be a challenge from the time I hit the ground. It's going to be a running challenge. That's what life is for me. When I get off the airplane, I'm not going to know if there's something with fur, claws, and teeth sleeping in my bed. So there is a concern whether or not there's a bear waiting for me. So I've got to have my guns ready. When we do go out,
yeah,
if we can, if you can fly over low and slow, let me at least view the material on the tent, the big dining hall.
Yeah.
If it's been compromised by that bear at all, then I'm going to be able to see all the ribs, and I'm just going to look like something got into it. It won't be taut. And that way I know I at least got to have something in my hands when I'm going in.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
We can do that.
When I get out of the airplane and he takes off, there is no turnaround. I'm there by myself and that's it. My world will be survival at that point. But being able to go out there with no help, no light, no anything, get everything turned over and be successful at living in a tent, it's what I'm good at. It's what I do well.
Holy what was that?
Something's not right.
Holy what was that?
What about the Magneto is not working right?
Better go back to base here.
All right. Is it potentially a quick fix? I've got to get home. I have to get home. I can't stay here any longer. Doesn't smell good.
Doesn't smell good.
Doesn't smell good. Things break. Things, you know, things happen. Yeah, it's not how I scripted it to go. You know, it's just, I get my hopes up. I get my hopes up. You know, I mean, I've traveled 500 miles to get here. Now I'm waiting. There's still that chick side of me that wants to cry because I can't get home. My little foxies are waiting for me. I got work to do. I got things to do, and they don't involve being in Dead Horse. It's time to go home. But tomorrow's a new day.
I don't even view it that I work or that I have a job. I just have a good time, and I get up every day and do what I need to do and eat a big meal and hit the sack. Skin this caribou, take the hide off of it, and expose the real trophy here, which is the meat. This animal here represents about 2.5-3 weeks of food. I butcher animals inside my house in the wintertime. The number one reason is because it's cold outside. If the only meat that you're eating is the game that you're killing, it's actually surprising how not far it goes. It's, you eat it up pretty quick. Wild game meat has many advantages. There's a lot of people that don't understand how healthy the meat is. It's very lean. You don't have that luxury or that peace of mind with store-bought meat, or as I like to call it, government meat. And finish getting the hide off, and then we're going to separate all the muscle groups, lay the meat on the table, and get it processed into meal-sized portions. This is the tongue of the caribou. It's one of the fattest parts of the caribou, and it's my personal favorite part to eat. Everybody in nature recognizes its goodness, so. Well, get that going. Now that you have the whole quarter here, what you're going to do is you're going to go ahead and separate the muscle groups. This first one I'm going to pull here is the ham roast. That's a nice roast there, perfect roast. What I need, what I want, what you need, what you want, what people think they need or want, it's all subjective. Comfort is subjective. This is like a plush life in my mind. This is like really plush.
You know, if you fall through that ice, you don't have a lot of time to react before you're pretty hypothermic. So just don't take chances. You know, without access to the river, we can't get to town. If we can't get to town, then we can't get mail, we can't get supplies, which means that if we can't access the river, we're just totally isolated here.
Chi-chi! Attaboy, chi-chi! Chi-chi! No more G! Attaboy!
Whoa, whoa, whoa! 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 The only places on the river that are going to be unsafe right now are the places where it froze up and there was open water in between the pack ice.
Oh man, it looks like it jams up in there pretty good. There's this pretty big ice right here, and I don't want to get in the middle of it and then have to turn around in it, so I'm going to take a few minutes, walk up, just kind of scout it out a little bit to make sure it's safe to go up this way.
Now, you know, the main problem with getting to Eagle is jumble ice and thin ice. The Yukon is a contained river valley, and it's not very wide, and if the water level comes up to a certain height, it can jam that jumble ice right up to the bank into the willows, and it creates a barrier to try and get around.
Yep, look at that. That ice is only about 2 inches thick or so right there, 2.5. You look right over here, you can see there's open water bubbling up. That ice is just a quarter inch thick or so, and you can see that dark color. That's deep water, so we're definitely not going out on the ice around here. It's just not safe. Kate, you copy Andy?
Yep, I copy you now.
Okay, I'm down at the end of the overland trail. The ice just doesn't look safe right now, so I'm going to turn around and come home now. So I'll be home in about an hour. I'll be home before dark.
All right, take care and come on home. I got some soup ready for you.
Chi-chi! Attaboy, Chi-chi! Chi-chi!
Just stay along the shore there, iceberg. Attaboys, looking good. I'm gonna have to work pretty hard to put a trail into Eagle, it looks like, this year. But I don't trust this ice right now. And I'm just gonna have to come back another day and explore trying to get to Eagle. So, pretty rough trail. Tried going up on the river and we'll be able to do it later in the winter, but it's not good right now. Anyway, it is what it is.
I know, you gotta do what you gotta do. Mother Nature does her thing.
The river's a precarious thing. You know, you can't predict what's going to happen. If you live anywhere like this, sometime I think Mother Nature's going to win.
All that's on my mind is I got to get home. Yesterday we tried to make it to Kavik. A lot of things happened. Magneto went out on the plane. Then we ran out of light. So today we're going to take a stab at it again. I do know that the plane is fixed. What we're fighting is a big 80-mile-an-hour storm coming in tomorrow. And it's going to last a week. Next storm coming in, it's going to be balls out bad. So this is my window. Today. I got to get out today. You know, once I approach Kavik, circle around, see if I can pick out if anything's destroyed my buildings, if it's still living in there. Don't have any idea the condition of the runway. I could get dropped off as far away as a mile. The ankle, you know, that I had surgery on, I mean, there's been some pain associated with the cold, but this is going to be the big test. You're landing into the twilight zone, the unknown. You know, I know I probably have 22, 30-foot drifts covering my doors. I may have somebody sleeping in my bed. I'm looking, trying to beat an 80-mile-an-hour, 5-day blow. This storm, the reality is, if it's 60 below zero and you put 100-mile-an-hour wind with that, you're looking at almost 200 degrees below zero on your skin. I mean, that's the importance of getting in today, getting dug out today, getting the heat on today.
Beyond the end of the road, where the earth stops going north, food is pretty important. We're hoping to get a couple hundred fish a day. We've started out with 57 today. You know, we're thankful for what we can catch, and when we catch it and what we catch, we'll be really thankful for. And being a provider is really what it's all about. I'm more happy to be a provider in a direct way this than I ever would be with money. Because money can be so misspent, it's crazy. You can't misspend fish. I love this place because people won't give me any trouble. They look at me for what I do and how I contribute, and they always honor a provider. That's all that matters to them.
Dinner.